Hey everybody, welcome to Pokemon World Tour. I am your guide, Josh.
And I'm your host, Jake.
And today we are
on
going
the victory road.
Down the road to Victory City.
I should have done that. I messed up, guys. I apologize.
Yeah.
Victory Road, getting close to being done with Kanto.
Yeah.
We should figure out.
It's exciting.
What we're doing.
We got two more episodes after this one. We got Indigo Plateau and Cerulean Cave. Maybe we'll combine them. I don't think Cerulean Cave will be long enough to be its own episode.
Probably not.
So we'll probably combine those. That gives us a spotlight Pokemon for the Indigo Plateau episode built right in.
Yeah.
So we have one more episode. We're taking a month off of these like regular episodes to hopefully catch up on some of those gym leaders that we promised you guys.
Yeah.
Which I might have an idea for, but I don't know if I'm actually going to do it.
We'll talk about it off air.
Yeah, keep your eye on the Patreon.
Well, there's a lot of news.
There's a lot of news.
So we should talk about that news.
A very densely packed video came out. So yeah, let's talk about that.
Guys, are you ready for some wacky news? This news gets wacky at points.
So everything up to this point was like new Pokemon,
Some new Pokemon.
You could ride some.
Yeah. We won't come out and say it, but like, yeah, you can ride some.
This video was like, oh, by the way, everything's also different.
This is not your daddy's Pokemon game.
No. So, the first thing in this video is old Pokemon have new forms.
Which is oh boy, that was tailor-made for Jake Mason.
Yeah. I don't know how much you hang around Reddit. I'm there relatively.
Basically zero.
I'm there relatively regularly. And this has been like a thing going on for a while, is not so much regional differences, which is what this ended up being.
Right.
But more just like variations in Pokemon. Like, you know, what if this type? Charmander was, you know, lived in a cave instead. So it was like this different type.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what this is, but they're native to this new region.
Because of evolution and climates and stuff.
Right.
Which is very cool. Pokemon using its own mythology for good for once.
So the first one is my favorite. They're all my favorite. I love all of them for different reasons.
Yeah.
But this one is Exeggutor, who you might know as the egg palm tree from Gen 1.
Yeah, the terrible Pokemon. Like, maybe the worst Pokemon from Gen 1.
So they just grabbed his heads and stretched him up to be 35 feet tall.
That's so tall.
He's got this long ass neck.
It's literally like little bit like belly and feet, huge neck.
He also
three heads on top.
He has a tail with a head on it.
Yeah, with another coconut head.
So its type changes. It's grass dragon now,
which I don't understand.
I don't know why it's a dragon.
I get wanting to change the type,
right?
To be like, oh, it's different mechanically, too.
Dragon's a weird choice.
It's so tall, so it can hit dragons.
He's a tall tree, so he is a dragon.
You know, like palm trees. You know how they're dragons?
Yeah. No.
You go to the beach in, like, you know, in California.
There's palm trees here. There's just dragons everywhere here in Texas.
They're all dragons? You know how that works.
One thing of note is that it excels at whipping its long neck like a lash to attack with its hard heads.
That neck has got to be strong enough.
You remember Beware, right? We don't like him. He's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Some of his promo art is him hugging a tree in half.
Yeah. Is that an Exeggutor neck?
That's scary. I don't like
that. Is he killing Exeggutors by decapitating their 30-foot neck?
All right, let's go to the next one. Now I'm sad about Exeggutor. So the next one, we'll do these together because it's the same family, is Vulpix and Ninetales.
These ones look cool.
I thought they looked cloudy. I thought they looked like maybe they would be flying types, but they're ice. Vulpix is pure ice, and it evolves into Ninetales that's ice fairy.
How do you evolve it? We've been trying to figure out for a couple days now. How do you evolve it?
There's rumors that there's just going to be new evolution methods, which is not out of the ordinary for a new generation of Pokemon. Right.
Just drop in an ice stone, but also you can get Glaceon with this. We didn't have one before.
Or it might be the same way that you get Glaceon. It's like, level it up next to this icy rock.
Those rocks are the dumbest thing. I know there were leaf stones far back as Gen 1.
Right.
And that you couldn't evolve an Eevee with it then. But guys,
its name is Leafeon.
Just use a leaf stone. We'll be fine with it.
It's literally leaves. But in an Eevee shape.
But like an Eevee form of leaves. Come on.
So these are different. They're the same species of Pokemon. Like, that's obviously a Vulpix. But they're for all intents and mechanic purposes,
they are very different.
They're different Pokemon.
They're going to have like...
Like, its ability is Snow Cloak, which obviously Vulpix doesn't have.
Right. Snow Cloak protects you from rough weather?
I think it raises your evasion when it's hailing.
Okay. Yeah, and like, they do look a little cloudy, but then it's like... It's like
kind of wispy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe it's just like snowdrifts, you know?
I like that Ninetales gets a second typing on evolution this time, because regular Ninetales...
Deserves a second typing.
Looks like a fire psychic Pokemon to me.
Fire psychic or fire fairy, because the Keaton right. is, you know, like a spookum.
Yeah. All right, next up, my fat little igloo boy, Sandshrew.
He's so as Sandslash. So blubbery.
So the design change to Sandshrew is just, what if an igloo was a Sandshrew?
Right.
It's Sandshrew with two O's, like from igloo.
Right. Oh, boy.
They're both ice steel types. They also have Snow Cloak, so that's very cool. This is just a very neat thing.
Yeah, I like what I really would happen like
if Sandshrews climbed a mountain and then just started living in the snow.
Right, and like Pokemon evolution is the whole thing, so like
right.
you would adapt over time. And I think they said something about how like they were forced out of their like their native habitat on the island and had to move to the snowy mountain or whatever, and that's why they adapted to be snowy.
The frequent eruptions of nearby volcanoes drove the Sandshrew to abandon the desert and migrate to snowy mountains where they took this form.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I feel like there's going to be more places like this because these are both ice, so they're probably the same area.
Yeah, I feel like they showed the ice ones specifically to be like, I know this is a tropical region, but like there's a lot of different variety in the places and the Pokemon that are going to be here.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they went with ice first.
Also, they just did ice... So it's like, hey, there's just, I think they did the both ice and not like have it be a flying type or anything.
Right.
Because they're like, it's the same area that they went to, the same microclimate, I think they called it.
Yeah.
And then also Exeggutor with his big old neck.
It's just a big neck. Oh, goober. All right. So we got new Pokemon.
We're also
in this video.
And no one's talking about them.
And I like all of them.
I only remember my Dirt Boy.
Well, we'll start with Fomantis, which is a little grass type. Who's this little guy?
Okay, that's a cutie.
Yeah, he's a little cutie. Or she. I'm sure it could be both.
Probably.
It's the Sickle Grass Pokemon, and it's tiny and it's cute. I'm just looking for... It has a Leaf Guard, so it doesn't have any like new stuff. But it evolves into Lurantis.
That's another cute Pokemon.
Which is also cute. Pokemon. Yeah. It's got like straight pants on. And is like holding its hand up to its mouth, like, ooh.
Ooh, I have a secret.
This is the Bloomsicle Pokemon. Still pure grass, still has Leaf Guard. I think it has a new move, though. New move called Solar Blade. Releases a blade-shaped beam to mince up its foes. Now, this move, when they showed it in the video, you remember the infinite light attack that the Megazord did?
Yeah.
It's that.
That's pretty cool.
It's just a giant beam of light from the sky, and he just aims it.
It cuts you down in half. That's awesome. I like that Pokemon.
So next up is the evolution of Young Goose.
Oh, boy.
Its name is Gumshoes.
And he is a dapper detective gentleman.
He is. He's standing very upright with his arms, I guess his front legs, behind his back. He's got his eyes closed, kind of like,
and his
but he still has the same, like, kind of mouth.
Yeah. And his hair has turned into like a cabbie hat, kind of.
A little bit.
Which I like. I also like that he's just like an old man detective.
But as far as new stuff, he has the same abilities and stuff that Young Goose had, so you can go back and listen to whatever episode we talked about Young Goose in.
I don't know.
Next up is Minior.
Oh, that's a good looking Pokemon.
This Pokemon, I love this Pokemon, and I'm very sad that people aren't talking about it. He looks like a Super Mario RPG bad guy. he's got like this hard rock shell, and when you hit him, he has the shields down ability. Before we get to his ability, let's talk about him as a Pokemon first.
Okay.
It's the Meteor Pokemon, so sold. You got me.
Yeah.
He's a rock flying type.
That's pretty neat. There's not a lot of rock flying types.
I can't think of one, but there might be one.
There's like a good 400 Pokemon that I don't know about intimately. So like,
he's much tinier than I thought. He's only a foot.
Well, yeah, he's a little meteor. He was huge, but then he burnt up in the atmosphere.
So his ability is Shields Down. And what that does is he's like a very defensive Pokemon. But then when he gets below half of his HP, his shield breaks, which I think speeds him up and makes him better suited to attacking.
That's pretty cool.
As opposed to defending.
Again, a lot of meta. They're putting a lot of weird metagame stuff into this one, just to mess with nerds, and I love it.
So when his shield falls off, his just a core. This is called his core.
But he's got big old glowy eyes, and I love
it. He's got big old glowy eyes, and Jake.
He's got modes.
They're not really modes. They're just different colors.
He's got different colors.
So he comes in yellow, orange, red, which is kind of like a pink, or blue. And it says his color change depends on the particular color of the debris it absorbed, because it's formed in the stratosphere and then crashes to Earth.
Right.
So I hope that means just like when you find him, it's a random color. And yeah. I'm gonna hold out for a blue one.
Yeah, I'm gonna get them all.
I'll have them all, but I'll use.
I have a whole set. But yeah. Also, does this mean that Pokemon can evolve and happen in this universe off planet?
Clefairies came from off planet. The mythology of Clefairy is that they're not from Earth.
Are these dudes made out of moonstones?
That would be insane. And also, Deoxys, who I know you don't like,
but he's
a strand of alien DNA that got hit with that death laser, which turned him into a Pokemon.
Right. Man, this...
there's a lot of lore here. I know we're just going through Kanto right now, and it's like the first game, so there's nothing. There's weird Mew stuff, but that's like it.
Right.
It gets weird, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
All right, next up is your little baby boy.
Oh, I'm a little dirt boy.
Mudbray.
Yeah.
He's a goofy little donkey that evolves into Dirt Horse.
Dirt Horse, whose name I don't remember because I'm just going to call him Dirt Horse. I'm naming my donkey, my Mudbray Dirt Horse because like I'm a dreamer, planning for the future. Clyde's ground.
Hang on, I'm looking at my... Yeah, Mudsdale.
Mudsdale. I knew Clydesdale figured into it somehow.
Mudbray is the donkey Pokemon and is just a ground type. Whereas Mudsdale, I think, is half fighting.
I don't remember.
Nope, he's also just a ground type. Never mind.
He's just a big dirt boy.
He's a draft horse. Draft horse that evolves from a donkey. And this thing looks like a dirt donkey.
Oh, yeah. He's an idiot.
He's got, like, weird eyes.
Yeah, they're kind of goaty. His eyes are a little bit. Like a goat eye.
He's very cute. I like him a lot.
Same.
And next we have maybe my second one. This is the final new Pokemon reveal. My second favorite under, I think, Minior, I'm going to say, is my favorite of this batch. And it's very hard to pick a team of six.
And we don't even know all the Pokemon yet.
We don't even know all of them. We don't even know who all is coming back from the old regions. Who's going to get new forms? Who's just still going to be here but regular?
Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about the new forms again in a second, because we got two more people, right? We got this one, then we got that other guy.
What other guy?
The Crocodile Boy?
Right, we didn't talk about Salandit.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about him too, but first we got Oricorio, who is this little bird.
Little bird, who's got modes.
He's a little dancer bird. He's the dancing Pokemon. It's a fire-flying type, and it has different dance modes, and it changes dancing forms based on the nectar of certain flowers. So I imagine you'll be able to go to these flowers and change its form at will. So let's see. It has pom-pom style, which is like a yellow cheerleader.
It's like a cheerleader.
Oh, this is a Hawaiian word, so please forgive me. I'm trying my best. The pa'u style. Okay. P-A apostrophe U.
I feel like you probably got that.
Pa'u?
That's how I would say it.
It's a pink hula dancer.
Yeah.
The sensu style, which is a blue like fan...
That one's like really geisha cool looking. One. I like that each dance style is very distinct.
Yeah. And then the baile style, which is like a flamenco dancer.
Right.
I don't know which one of these I like the best, so I'm just going to get all of them.
I like the cheerleader one, and I like the blue one, whose name I've already forgotten.
Sensu.
That one. Because the dance is like very precise and like very like flowy, and they got the fan arms. It's real cool looking. But yeah, I like that it's got modes.
And it has a new ability called Dancer.
Hold me closer, tiny dancer.
It is a tiny dancer. It's 2 feet tall. If another Pokemon in battle uses a dancing move, it copies it.
That's pretty neat.
So there's the one they showed in the trailer was Quiver Dance, which raises a couple stats. So the opponent used it, and then it was a pom-pom style one. Just did a little dance and copied the stat boost.
Ready? Okay. How funky is your chicken?
And then we have one that we haven't talked about yet. It's not a funky chicken.
It's not
Pokemon,
a funky chicken dance.
Now I'm hoping.
How loose is your goose? Our goose is totally loose.
Its name is Salandit. It's a toxic lizard Pokemon. It's a poison fire type, which I'm pretty sure is new. I don't think we've had one of those.
I can't think of another of any.
It's just like a black salamander. It has this... grin on his face, this cheeky grin on his face. He gets the ability Corrosion, which allows his poison moves to hit Pokemon. His poison moves are just the status. Just the status. So you can inflict steel and poison type Pokemon with the poisoned status.
Oh, cool.
They're usually immune to it.
Right.
So that's very cool. Again, that's just like a new metagame thing that they're throwing
just
in.
Just to like throw everyone off, and I love it. I don't like the competitive scene. I don't like the metagame stuff. I don't think about moves very often while I'm playing. But what I do like is when Pokemon's like, hey, your teams are boring. You have to use new stuff now.
Yeah. I'm not super into the competitive stuff either. Like, I'll breed for IVs and I'll EV train all my Pokemon, but all their movesets are just, like, dumb and gimmicky. Like, what would this Pokemon actually use for moves? And that's the moves that I give them, and they're not always the best.
My classic move set was, what type is it? All That.
Well, that's what everybody did at first.
Yeah. Part of me still likes that, but the other part of me is like, type coverage. You at least know about type coverage now, Jake, right. So you should probably figure that out. But I don't really think about movesets. I don't really EV train. I definitely will breed for IVs because I like the act of getting a perfect Pokemon because it feels very good when you do it. But like, I'm just glad that they're doing weird stuff with the metagame to kind of make everybody have to rethink about it.
Yeah. Hopefully it pulls out some variety in teams, and it's not just like some variation on 10 Pokemon in the world championships.
Boring. Guys, the 720 some odd Pokemon, don't be boring about it.
And everybody's strategy is the same.
Yeah. Nerds. Anyway.
That's all the Pokemon.
That's all the Pokemon.
There's features, though.
There are.
So first,
before we move on to features,
okay,
real quick,
off on that.
I want to talk about the fact that all the Pokemon they've shown with new forms are from Gen 1.
Yeah.
Do you think that's it? Or do you think that they will add...
I think they started with that for a reason.
Right. Everyone's playing Pokemon Go now. Everyone's familiar with the first generation again, so...
So hopefully that leads to newer generations also getting these new forms.
Right, because I would love... And, like, look, I want a Bulbasaur that has, like, a different form. You know, like, maybe replace the poison with something else and have it be a rose. I would love that.
What's the... what is it? Hibiscus. That's, like, a Hawaiian flower, right? So just, like, a hibiscus...
That would be awesome.
That blooms out of it and make it, like, I don't know, Parfairy or something?
Yeah. That would be great.
Just, I would say get weird with it, but, like, you already did. So just keep doing that.
But I would also like an electric Zangoose or like...
The one I want most is the Nidorans to be part electric.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Hoping like ground electric. I think that would be real neat.
Yeah. Or like if I could get like a Totodile that's just like part grass type, comes from a swamp or something. Like, you know.
You don't have to do anything to Cyndaquil. I like my little boy how he is.
I would like to see what a Cyndaquil would look like with another type spitting out something different, but... At the same time...
Oh, if he's, like, a water type, he has, like, a little water
spout
on his back?
He's, like, a fountain on his back? Yeah.
Okay, now I'm into that.
So, like, it's something like that. Or, like, a Ghost Charmander. But like I said on Twitter, if there's a Ghost Charmander in this game, I'm going to have to sue the Pokemon company.
We have no choice but to sue, because we did that first.
We did, in fact, do that
first. That is a creation of Alan Sells.
Yes.
TM.
Alan Sells, by way of Pokemon World Tour United.
Yes.
So we can sue on his behalf, and we will. I will go to court with Pokemon over this. I'm not.
They will eat us alive. Here's what would happen if we sued them. We would have to end the podcast.
Or.
They would win so hard that we would have to stop.
Or. Because if I go to court, I'm getting a haircut and I'm shaving and I'll look adorable.
Or you'll just walk in there like a little boy.
And they'll be like, we can't do anything bad to this little boy.
You'll walk in, they'll just go, aw.
And then I'll be like, hey, you know what you should do? You should hire us. Make Pokemon World Tour an official podcast.
That is the dream now. That's what we want.
Anyway.
New features. Z-moves.
What? I don't understand Z-moves. What's a Z-move?
A Z-move is... You watched the whole trailer, right? You saw everything?
I did see the whole thing.
Think of it as a Final Smash.
Okay, that contextualizes it in a way that I can understand.
There's one for each type. It's like a super mega killing move.
So there's 17. They only showed four.
And the only name I remember was Bloom Doom.
There's Bloom Doom. There was Water Vortex, something like that. Hydro Vortex.
It doesn't say on the Z-move page what they were.
Because it was the three starter types and electric, because they had to get Pikachu's stuff in, brother.
Right. But that's what those little crystals were for. The crystals, everyone's like, oh, is that for Pokemon Fusion and stuff? They aren't. They're for the Z moves. You can use one. You can use them once per battle.
A Z move?
Yes.
Is it called that because it has something to do with Zygarde, do you think?
I don't know.
I think maybe it does.
It might. I'm very excited to collect all these crystals, though.
Same.
I just do all these super killing moves and just beat the champion into the dirt. We'll talk about that in a minute, because that's different.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, there's Poké Ride.
Poké Ride!
And what it showed...
Gotta ride them all, Poké Ride.
I went to the poker rap.
Yeah, you did. Because one of us is a good person, and the other one is a bad person.
But what they showed... My Twitter profile right now just says that I listen to the poker rap for fun.
Yeah, I know. I wince every time I see it.
That is a very true statement. I think that tells you a lot about who I am as a person. Anyway, Poké Ride. You can call on Pokemon to ride them.
Are these your Pokemon, or are they...
I don't think so. I think this is like a provided service. But
I don't love that.
I also couldn't really tell. They didn't really say.
Right.
But the leading theory is that this is replacing TMs, because in the trailer they showed... You're right. HMs. Because in the trailer they showed flying on Charizard and like a Tauros smashing rocks and surfing on Sharpedo.
Right.
So this is kind of the perfect way to replace those, but still have to use Pokemon to traverse
these things,
the
but
land.
You don't have to like waste a slot on Surf. I think Surf might still be a move, because it's like the only good one.
Surf is a good move. I think they'll all be moves, and they might even still be HMs, but this gives you an option around them.
Yeah, but I like that. I do hope that I get to like, even if it's not like on my team, if I get to choose the Pokemon that I have for ride, you know, like if I get to set that, like, oh, my ride is a dirt horse, you know, or whereas like you could be like, oh, my ride is a Go-Goat.
Did you see Japan launched like this visual retrospective kind of thing about Pokemon recently? And it's just like a bunch of drawings.
Pokemon
and
World
stuff.
Journey.
Yeah, Pokemon World Journey.
We didn't talk about this on this podcast.
I'm not going to get super into it because I haven't been to the site yet. But there are pictures of just like how absurd some of this stuff is. Like there's a trainer just holding the bottom of a Pidgey that's flying it around.
I love that.
I definitely want to check this site out.
Yeah, same. Also,
because it seems
guys,
like they're like, we know how crazy this stuff is, but like, look how funny.
Right, yeah, it's crazy, but like, don't worry about it.
Right, just have fun playing this game.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the island trials now.
Yeah.
I'm doing this off memory. I don't have like a thing.
Okay.
They showed 4 trial captains, one for each island.
One for each island.
And you complete the island trials, and then you can fight the kahunas.
The big kahunas. Kahuna. Well, that's on the 5th island, is where all the big kahunas are.
And it's hard to tell if this is replacing gyms or a new thing. I think it's replacing them, but not entirely. I think it's a new approach to like the old system, because I feel like there's going to be more trial captains. They only showed us the first one.
Well, because
we know Hala is a kahuna.
Yes.
But he's the only one they've told us about.
Hala at your boy.
Hala at your boy.
Big kahuna.
The big kahuna Hala at your boy. Hala at your boy.
I don't know how I feel about this, because on the one hand, I love badges, and I want
badges.
And
they might not
still
get rid of badges. They might just like paint them in a new coat of paint.
I like the idea that maybe this isn't a gym replacement, but this is how you leave each island. Like, you're not allowed to go to the next island without beating this island's trial first. But there could be, because if you look at the map, there's like, each island has a lot of stuff on it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of areas to each island, which is pretty cool, because like the mountain, like the snow mountain is next to like a cave area or something, you know. Like,
yeah,
like,
and there's like a volcano.
Yeah, so like there's plenty of stuff that you could be like, well, this gym is over here, this gym is over here.
At the end of each trial is a totem Pokemon, which is like a boss battle.
Yeah.
So they're a powered up version of a regular
Pokemon. You gotta fight a Gumshoose who's jacked up on electric juice.
He's all like electrified and like super buffed. He can call friends into the battle to help him.
So it's like
they made Pokemon boss battles,
which is neat.
Like this is crazy.
Yeah, this is the same Pokemon series. That's insane.
So I do think trials are probably replacing the gyms, but not entirely. It's just going to be gyms with a different name.
Right.
I feel like there's going to be probably 2 to each island leading to the one kahuna. And there's 4 kahunas, so there's your Elite 4, and you beat all of them, and you fight the champion of,
right,
you know, the trial champion. And Bulbagarden tweeted out a similar theory.
Theory, okay. I mean, we'll see, obviously, but...
We did meet some of the trial captains. Yeah, there
was Mallow.
There's Mallow, who's the only name I remember because it's a Super Mario RPG character.
Also, she's grass type.
Yeah, there's a water one, a fire one, and probably electric. They probably went with the four...
I think so, hold on.
Regular style. I think I could pull them up.
Okay, yeah, so I got them. So Mallow is grass type. Lana is water type.
Okay.
Sophocles is electric type.
Sophocles?
And, I don't know if I can pronounce this. Kiwi.
Let me get there. Hang on.
I want to say Kwame, because that's a planeteer, and you can be one too.
Kiwi.
Yeah, we'll go with that. My brain couldn't wrap around that. But he's fire type. I like his design a lot. He looks very cool.
Yeah, I like all of them.
Sophocles is a giant nerd who's fighting a Mimikyu in some sort of Parcheesi type game.
Yeah, I don't know what that game is.
That might not even be a Mimikyu.
I think that's just a Pikachu figure.
I think so.
What dork.
I thought it was a Mimikyu because it was so tiny.
Like the collar of his shirt comes off into a Pikachu tail.
Yeah, that guy's a nerd.
What a nerd. I like Mallow a lot. I think she's probably my favorite.
Mallow's my favorite. She's going to be the internet's new girlfriend.
Yep.
Give it time.
And Lana's like a fisher.
Yeah, she's...
She does a fish.
She has a fishing. She looks like very young to be...
Her and Sophocles look very young.
To be guardians of anything.
And Kiyue is just so mad.
he's like, my abs. I have too many of them.
So I'm curious, because they do mention Kiyue has a Marowak.
Do they?
On this website. So I wonder, is like after the trial is completed, if you get to fight them for like a badge, essentially.
Maybe? I don't know. Again, we don't know how any of this is going. So there might still be gyms.
They would not introduce these people if you could not battle them. This is a Pokemon game, right?
Well, yeah. But well, that's the thing, is you have to beat them to move on to the Kahuna.
It just says you have to beat the trial, though. These are just like the captains.
Oh, I assumed that they were.
But
like,
I imagine that after you beat the totem Pokemon, that earns you the right to challenge the captain, and then you beat the captain for the right to fight the Kahuna. Maybe? I am never, ever going to get tired of saying Kahuna. That is my favorite.
I don't know. It's crazy. We should probably move on.
We should. That's all the information. It was a very dense thing, and I'm sorry. The rest of this episode should go pretty quick. So let's hit Route 23.
All right.
We came back from Cinnabar, and we ran all the way back up through Pallet, through Viridian. We, like, waved at our mom real quick. Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mom. I'm a Pokemon. I'm great now.
Ran to Viridian. Ran through Route 22, where your rival challenges you again, and I didn't take notes on that. Does he challenge you again?
I don't know if he challenges you again. He challenges you. You can challenge him right off if you go that way.
You can. He might challenge you again, or he might not. I can't
remember. I don't think they would do that because of a spoiler.
I think you're right. So Route 23 is that giant building... It's like a gate that leads to a route. It's not all in a building.
I was going to say, that's weird.
But at the end of Route 22, you go into the gate, and there's a guard who's like, hey, you got a boulder badge? And you go, yeah, you open your jacket. He's like, all right, come on in. Welcome to Route 23.
Thank you, come in.
It's a pretty simple road. It just runs south to north. There's a lake in the middle that requires surf to pass, and throughout the route are guarded checkpoints, each one requiring the next badge in the sequence to get through.
Right.
There's a guard who will just, like, yell at you in the water, be like, hey, you got a Cascade badge? And you'll be like, yeah. And he'll be like, all right,
good enough for me.
And that's the whole route, is just going through these checkpoints, which makes it feel pretty big.
Because you have to, like, because you could go kind of far into it. You could get...
Yeah, every time you get a badge, you can come back and go a little farther. Yeah. And then north of the lake, there are a few small patches of grass, and then the road after that just continues north. It leads right to the entrance of Victory Road, which is kind of in the middle of the route. Not, like, center, but splits the route up into a south and north half.
Right.
And then the north half just runs from the Victory Road exit right up to the door of the Indigo Plateau. In Generations 2 and 4, this route is just a tiny little road that comes out of the reception center.
Because you're coming from the other side.
Yeah, and it just leads right to... Well, it's been condensed.
Right.
Because you can come from either side because the League... Reception. It's called a reception house or something.
Sure.
I wrote it down. The reception gate is like a three-way path. One goes to Mount Silver, one goes to Kanto, one goes to Johto.
Right.
And so Route 23 is just a rectangle in front of the Indigo Plateau. For Pokemon in Gen 1, in that little bit of grass that I talked about, there's Spearow, Fearow, Ekans, Arbok, Sandshrew, Sandslash, Nidorina, Nidorino, Mankey, Primeape, and Ditto. And you can fish in the lake for a Magikarp, Goldeen, Sea King, Poliwag, Poliwhirl, Slowbro, Kingler, or Seadra. In Gen 3, you can encounter a Psyduck or a Slowpoke by surfing, and by fishing you can get Gyarados, Psyduck, and Slowpoke, and the grass Pokemon are the same.
Cool.
That's your 23. So.
That's easy.
Let's hit the road. The victory road. Victory Road is the final challenge for trainers of the Indigo Pokemon League. It is a 3-level cave filled with puzzles, and you're going to need to bring a Strong Boy with you because you got to push some boulders.
Yeah, push
around.
Some boulders. I remember that. You're also going to want some repels unless you want to fight a million.
Also, if you're
Zubos.
Like 12, it's probably very confusing to navigate.
I got way lost
in here.
I remember being lost in here for quite some time. And I do remember that I caught an Onix in here on my first road through. And I immediately added that to my party because like I only used Blastoise.
I don't think I had the player's guide until Yellow came out, but I probably looked at one in a store. So I knew Onix was in Rock Tunnel, and I did not leave until I caught it.
I think I had an Onix by then, but I was like, this is such a strong Onix.
This is such a strong guy.
I haven't leveled up any of my other Pokemon.
That's all I have is this Blastoise. It's level 90.
Thereabouts.
Usually in the 80s by then, if it's the only thing that you use.
Yeah.
I should do another run where it's just my starter. I haven't done that.
Just you and your buddy, just crush it.
Maybe that's how me and Rowlet will get around the I can't pick six of Alola.
Right.
Being the final challenge, the cave is filled with many tough and powerful trainers, except in Gen 2 where it's empty. It's the same layout, like the map is
but no one's there.
Basically the same, but there's no trainers in it.
Which is weird.
There's only the rival battle at the end, but we will talk about that in the Johto series at the end of that.
Right.
Because that he is not our rival right now. We are not worried about
him. He's barely born at this point.
So there are 11 trainers in Victory Road. In Fire Red and Leaf Green, there is a double battle that makes it 12. It's mostly cool trainers. They have pretty diverse teams. There's Charizard, there's Blastoise.
I remember there being a Charizard.
Yeah, there's a lot of good type variants between the trainers.
Yeah, who I crushed, by the way, because I had a Blastoise.
Yeah, Blastoise, just unstoppable.
Yeah.
There's also a couple jugglers, a black belt, and a tamer. The Pokemon levels range from 40 to 48. For the trainer battles. I did not rate the range of the wild ones, but I think it's a little less than that.
Yeah, because I caught an Onix that was, like, I think level 38 or 40, so, like, around there.
Yeah, it's, like, probably 36
I don't know why I just remember that Onix so much.
I don't know, man.
I was very proud of catching that strong Onix.
Because you were lost, and he was so strong, and he was like, ride me out of the cave! And you were like, heck
sir.
Yes! So, for wild Pokemon on the first floor, in Gen 1... there is Zubat, Golbat, Machop, Machoke, Geodude, Graveler, Onix, and Marowak. Gen 2 adds Ursaring, Donphan, Sandslash, Rhyhorn, and Rhydon. Gen 3 adds Arbok and Sandslash. And Gen 4, you can Rock Smash for Geodude and Graveler. You can use the Hoenn sound for Makuhita and Absol, which is a pretty good one for that dumb little radio sound that they decided to try. And the Sinnoh sound, you can get Chingling and Bronzor, and those aren't as cool as Absol.
Can you imagine getting... like swarms of Psyduck or like swarms of just like little dumb guys.
That's in, I feel like it's Gen 4, where at one point in the game, your path is blocked by a group of Psyduck whose headaches are so bad that they can't move and you have to get the medicine to move on.
That's amazing.
Might have been Gen 5. I can't remember.
I didn't play either, so can't help.
The second floor, this is all the same stuff, but Gen 3 also adds Primeape and a secret special Pokemon we'll talk about.
Yeah.
And then on the third floor is all the same stuff, but in Gen 1 you can also get Venomoth.
They all flew up to the top floor.
Yep.
They're trying to find their way out, but they can't.
I thought it was like they went down, but they don't. They go up. It goes from 1 to 2 to 3. There's no bees.
Right.
There's no bee floors. So that's it. You find your way through the cave, push all those boulders around, fight all those strong, cool guys.
A lot of cool trainers.
Cool guys and cool ladies.
Good.
There's both. And that one creepy juggler.
Hey, I'm just going to juggle over here. That's
I'm just
cool.
In this cave juggling. I got all the badges. I got to juggle them.
I only juggle 8, though.
But that's it. That's Victory Road, man.
That is very quick.
We come out of Victory Road. We're going to go up, and we're going to kick the door down of the Pokemon League. And we're going to come in here next time, and we're going to fight the most powerful trainers in the world so far.
So in the world thus far, the most powerful trainers in the land, certainly.
The Elite Four.
The four most elite trainers.
But that's for next time. We have a special Pokemon to talk about.
We do.
Are you ready?
I am.
Let's do it.
Who's that Pokemon?
It's Moltres! Moltres is Pokemon number 146. It's the flame Pokemon.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he's flame.
That's probably his name in Japanese.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
He's a fire flying type with a wingspan of 6'7".
That's long.
That's pretty big. It's almost an Allen. He's almost an Allen wide.
That's 1 inch short of an Allen. That's how I measure things now, is in Allens.
And he weighs 132.3 pounds.
That's not an Allen.
Nope.
Allen will float away. He'd have too much wind resistance.
That might be a hollow bones Allen.
Right.
He gets the abilities Pressure, which doubles enemies' PP usage, or Flame Body as its hidden ability, which when it is hit with a move that makes physical contact, there's a 30% chance that that Pokemon will be burned.
We'll catch a burn.
Outside of battle, it halves egg hatching time.
Yes. Because I used a Fletchinder to... Not Fletchinder, Talonflame.
I'm currently using a Slugma.
Nice.
So,
thinking about starting X over again. We'll talk about Griffin's... Nuzlocke run.
Oh, it's a new episode tomorrow.
I'm super excited.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that afterwards.
Pokedex entry, thankfully, has a little bit more than Articuno's helps lost people and is
right, cold. Yeah, thank God.
Moltres is a legendary bird with the ability to control fire. A flap of its wings creates a spectacle of embers and flames that can illuminate. Illuminate. I said it like
Illuminate
a Pokemon.
Is my new favorite Pokemon, though.
Spectacle of embers and flames. That can illuminate even the dark night sky in a lovely red color.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Illuminate is like a night, is like a K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah.
Illuminate.
Yep.
And it's like a fire boy.
Someone draw Illuminate.
Yeah.
He's a fire.
Steel fire.
Fire steel.
Fire steel.
Who's a night boy. Maybe steel fire. Either way, whichever you want.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, guys. If Moltres gets injured, it dips its body into a volcano's molten magma to heal itself.
That's crazy, Moltres. You crazy for this one.
It is said that the appearance of a Moltres, or the Moltres, it's iffy on if there's one in the game universe.
Right, but you don't know.
But in the anime universe and otherwise, it's iffy if they're only one legendary bird or if they're a species. It's kind of up in the air.
Never even thought of that before.
But its appearance could mark the early beginning of spring, but it is also possible that it just migrates along with the season. Like, it just follows
it's
spring.
Chicken and egg situation.
Yeah.
Has anyone read the book, the kid's book, by Alan Atkinson, Jack and the Green?
Nope.
Okay. I don't blame you. It's my favorite kid's book, and I'm the only one who knows about it, except for people in my family, because I used to be crazy about it. My mom bought it for me for Christmas a little while ago, so I have it on tap now.
Nice.
But when I was out of elementary school and Scoot was in it, I would make him get that book from the library and bring it home like once every 3 months so I could read it. It's basically about the four seasons and how there's like the staff that they hand off. And like, so spring hands off to summer, to fall, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But this time, winter doesn't get a chance to hand it off to spring because bad guy, whose name I'm forgetting, steals spring, just kidnaps her. So spring can never come. So like Moltres is kind of like that staff and that maybe he just is like heralding the new seasons.
Yeah.
It's a long walk for a short drink of water, but I did get to talk about my favorite kids book, so I'm okay with it. And if anyone else has read it, let me know so we can talk about how cool Brub is.
I think you would like Zelda Oracle of Seasons, where you control the seasons with a rod, a magic rod.
I would like that.
You have to jump on a tree stump and swing the rod, and it changes the seasons like in order.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You have to unlock each season because they're like the Temple of the Seasons has been collapsed, so you have to like go in and free the fairies.
I'm going to have to find a Let's Play so I can watch this.
It's a very good. It's a very good game. That is it for Pokedex stuff for Moltres.
Okay.
He's a pretty cool guy.
He is a pretty cool guy.
Let's do some trivia. A little bit of triv. Not okay. Much. The trivia, a lot of the trivia was just like, he's not in the anime open. Whoops.
Are the other two birds in the anime open?
Yeah, he's the only legendary bird that's not in the final version of the original anime opening or something. I don't know. I only wrote three down.
Hit me.
Moltres is the only legendary bird to not be found in an optional dungeon in Gen 1, though going to where he is in Victory Road. Oh, this is the special Pokemon in Victory Road, by the way.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to his little corner of Victory Road.
And it's hard to get there.
But you do have to go into Victory Road. And, it's hard to just find.
Because, he's right next to the exit of the cave, right? Or no, he's right next to the...
No, he's on the second floor.
The second floor. But I feel like he's right next to the way to the neck, the stairs up or something.
He's, I think, on the other side. Because he's, around a corner and down a hallway.
You can see him.
Yeah.
You can walk by him and be like, hey...
Hey, there's a couple rocks, so I can't get you.
I
gotta go around.
Hop over
Don't go anywhere. I gotta go around the rocks.
Why is he in Victory Road?
It doesn't say. There was no volcano to put him in, and this was the biggest cave that wasn't a special dungeon.
Right.
So they're like, put him in there.
Yeah, I guess.
But you can completely skip the power plant. I didn't even know about the power plant until I read about
it. I found it on accident. I felt like I was somewhere I shouldn't have been.
The thought of swimming down there never occurred to me until I read it.
I tend to be an explorer in video games. I tend to be, whoa, how can I get to these places? And I literally found it on accident. I was like, oh, what is here?
And then Seafoam Islands you can skip by flying to Palutena and surfing down.
Yeah.
Which I definitely did. I went in and got Articuno, but I was like, I'm not going to try to find my way out of here. So I escape roped out and flew to Pallet Town and swam down.
I don't remember. I definitely did go to there.
They move its location in the remakes to Mount Ember, which is on one island, which is an optional location.
In Gen 3?
In Fire Red and Leaf Green. Yep. So I think that's where we're going next when we come back from our little break.
Does the Sevii Islands? We're going
to do the Sevii Islands.
Okay.
And then we'll jump into Johto from there.
Are the Orange Islands a place we can go, or is that only in
that
the anime?
That is only in the anime.
All right, never mind. We're not going there.
Those are not a real... I mean, they are a real place, but they're not in the video game
universe. I thought they might be in a mystery dungeon or something, but if they're just in the anime, we can
There's
jump
never...
Them.
In any video game, they never mention the Orange Islands. It's completely made up for the anime.
That's weird.
So they could do something while they waited for... new Pokemon to come out.
I guess. Even though, they were working on Gen 2 when they started the anime?
I don't think they wanted to run the anime before the game was out.
Right.
I'm not sure where the timeline falls. I'd have to look at it. I don't know. Orange Islands is just a weird thing the anime did. I don't
know. Okay. But I don't know anything about the Sevii Islands. I'm excited about that.
In Gen 4, it can be found in Johto, making it the only legendary bird not found near its original location.
Where's it? Or are we going to talk about it then? No, let's just talk about it now. Where is it in Johto?
Oh, it's...
You didn't write it down.
Probably over there somewhere.
Is it...
I didn't write it down. I can look it up real quick.
Is it in the Lake of Rage? Probably not.
No, there's already a special Pokemon.
You're right.
Well, in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, which is the only Gen 2 game you can get them in.
Right.
It's in Mount Silver. So...
Huh.
Which is optional. You don't have to go
there.
That
is true. I didn't go there. I never went there in Soul Silver.
You never fought Red?
Not in Soul Silver.
What are you doing, man?
I don't know. I got to jump back in. I'll be back. I'll be right back, guys.
You go beat Red real quick.
No, I don't think I did. Anyway, not the point.
And finally, it shares its category of flame Pokemon with Charmeleon, Charizard, Flareon, and Infernape.
Okay. A lot of flame Pokemon.
A lot of I don't know, it has a flame.
Going to that well a few too many times, Pokemon.
For the origins of Moltres. Is inspired by the legends of firebirds such as the Phoenix and the Bennu, which is an Egyptian deity linked to the sun, creation, and rebirth. So basically a phoenix.
Okay, I was going to say, let's show a phoenix.
but I looked up a picture of it, and it also ties in with Moltres in that the shape resembles that of a heron.
It does look like a heron, yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably more heavily influenced by the Bennu itself than just phoenixes in general.
Right.
The name is a combination of molten and trace. Might also... be molt, like a bird molts, but it's fire, so it's definitely molten.
It's definitely molten, yeah.
Its Japanese name, fire,
okay,
is exactly what it says on the tin.
All right.
And that's it for Moltres. That's all I got.
Cool.
That's our boy, now fire boy.
We've closed out all the legendary birds.
Legendary birds are done.
On Kanto. Is this setting a precedent? Does this mean we need to figure out how to work in the trio of every gen into their respective version?
I think we could probably figure it out.
All right.
We'll cross that bridge when we come
to it.
It's not a pattern unless we do it again.
Right, exactly. All right, let's move on to our Name Raider segment. All right, so we got a few nicknames, quite a few. The easiest way to get them to us is either to email our email address, pwtpodcast@gmail.com, or on Twitter, #PWTRate. Those are the two ways that you can send in your nicknames to us. So I'm going to – we got a bunch from Sony in the email. We got 16. I'm going to do – we'll say 5.
Okay. Before we jump into that, use the hashtag or we won't see them.
We just won't see it. Scoot. I know I called you out last time, but I want to make sure that everyone gets it. And I'm using you as an example because we're brothers and I can do that. So, yeah, if you don't hashtag it, we probably won't see it. I'm sorry.
I mean, we might. And if we do, we'll try to get it in. But, like, the only guarantee that you'll be on some episode, maybe not the next one, but we'll get to
you. But eventually.
Is if you hashtag it.
So, let's jump back and forth. I will start. We're going to go with... These are all pretty good, Sony. I'm not going to lie to you. These are all pretty good. So, we'll just start at the top, then. With Mercury, the Nitto Queen, named after Freddie Mercury, lead singer of Queen.
Oh, dang.
That's a good one.
That steered into a different direction, and I really am into that. Ultra Ball,
same.
All right, so the next one is a Sand Shrew from Sky. It's a Sand Shrew named Tackle Boy.
Oh, my best friend Tackle Boy.
Because he rolls up in a ball and he comes out in a Tackle Boy. Hey, Tackle Boy.
I'm going to give that an Ultra Ball.
I am also going to give that Ultra Ball.
All right, next up we got Kayfabe the Clefable. And then he says kayfabe is essentially stories or fables, and that's if you're not a wrestling fan.
Sony, are you pandering?
I think he's a little pandering.
Well, it worked.
Because in wrestling, kayfabe is like the fiction of the wrestling universe.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ultra Ball.
Yep.
So yeah, Ultra Ball, definitely.
The next one is a Kingler named Crabbe DM. That comes from Jonathan.
That's a good one. Ultra Ball.
I'll Great Ball that one. I don't want to be too... lenient here.
Too liberal with your Ultra Balls. All right. Next up is I'm going to go with Vanilla Ice the Auroras. Its signature ability is Refrigerate, which causes whatever normal type moves it uses to become ice type moves. So in a sense, it turns vanilla normal type into ice.
Dude, does it get better than that?
Not very much better than that.
I'm a Master Ball that guy.
I'm gonna.
I got to do it
because I'm going to save my Master Ball for Scoots.
Okay.
But I'm giving it an Ultra Ball because it's close. It's as close to a Master Ball as you can get.
The next one comes from Sean. It's a Snorlax.
Okay.
Named E Honda.
That's a Street Fighter.
He's a sumo wrestler in the game Street Fighter.
Okay. I don't have a huge connection to Street Fighter. I'm going to give that a Great Ball.
I'll also give that a Great Ball.
All right. Next up is. Oh, here. This is apropos. Diva Talks to Jinx. They both wear a red outfit with gold trim. Put the two next to each other, and I can't tell the difference. Can you?
Yeah, Jinx has blonde hair, and Divatox has purple hair.
Boom. Jinx is blonde?
Jinx is blonde.
You're right. But
it's that purple face that just like...
I'd never see anything else. I just go around with the purple face. I'm going to give that another Ultra Ball.
I'm going to also do that. Begrudgingly give that one an Ultra Ball. Next one is from Joe Hunter.
Okay. These are good. Joe's are always very good.
It's my favorite one of his. It's an Ekans. He did not tag this.
Okay.
James tagged this for him.
Okay.
He commented on it. I was like, hey, you should tag that with PWT rate. So now here we are. It's an Ekans named Hissy Elliott.
Oh, again, very close to a Master Ball, but I'm going to go with Ultra Ball.
His comment on it is just, I'm not sorry.
Never apologize. And then, let's see, I'm going to go, last one is, oh, here's the one that I can rate poorly. No offense, Sony. Caesar the War Turtle, named after the anime character Caesar Zappelli. He wears blue, attacks with bubbles, and at one point wears two feathers, one on each side of his head that looks like a War Turtle ears. He's basically a human War Turtle. Anime is for nerds. Premier Ball.
I don't know the anime that you're talking about at all. I don't know who that is. But I like all those connections, so I'll Great Ball that one.
All right.
All right, so we'll do a couple of Scoots from his list here.
I did put him on blast twice now.
Yes, yeah, it's only right. Jolteon named Gear.
Is there any context? Probably not, right?
It's his strongest.
The strongest boy. I'm going to Premier Ball that.
Yeah, I don't know why he's a Gear. I'm going to Premier Ball
I'm sure there's that too. You know what? I think he mentioned to, it might have been Shannon, it might have been Alan, that there is a reason for the name, and it's probably anime related. So again,
yeah, still Premier Ball. Yeah. All right. Venomoth named My Nightmare.
I'm going to give that an Ultra Ball because mobs are horrible.
And they just love your head.
They love flying into my face.
I'll give that a Great Ball. It would have been a little lower because it's, but I've seen that in action.
That's a real thing.
So finally is a Growlithe named Rango.
That's a Master Ball. That's the Master Ball to end all Master Balls. It's a golden Master Ball. That's named after Scoot and I's dog who passed away in November. His name is Rango. Obviously, he was the best boy there ever was or ever will be. That's why in Pokemon World Tour United, my Growlithe's name is Bango, because that was one of Rango's nicknames. And I couldn't call him Rango, because that would get hella sad.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I wanted to do last time in the Pokemon raid. I saved a third Master Ball for that.
And we just never got
Scoot
there.
Scoot never tagged it.
We didn't see it. That's why you gotta tag him.
Gotta tag him.
Guys, learn from Scoot's mistake.
Don't be like Scoot.
If you're family, tag your tweets, man.
I mentioned that I was saving my Master Ball 3 times in that episode and still forgot about it because he didn't tag it. So it's a little bit on me, a little bit on him.
I can't Master Ball it because I already used it.
Yes.
I'll use next time's Master Ball on it.
You don't have to like pre-Master Ball.
Next time I just won't have a Master Ball. Everyone else gets to suffer because like, look. Rango was great.
Rango was the best boy.
So,
all right, and with that, we're going to move on to fan interaction.
Fan interaction, let's do it.
All right. Okay, so we got a couple things to talk about in the fan interaction section. First off, Sony asked us a question, and I forgot about it, but we already answered it. He asked, what was your guys' number one Pokemon that you want an Alolan version of? And what type slash habitats and physical changes would they have? Kind of talked about that.
We kind of did. I said I want electric Nidorans. I don't know what they would look like, though.
Or how, where you would get them. That's the other
cool
thing.
Kind of weird, like...
hydroelectric dam somewhere.
Yeah.
That could be neat. I want Bulbasaur with different plants. I want a Ghost Charmander. I don't want to have to sue Pokemon, but I mean, it might be worth it.
I wonder what an official Pokemon Ghost Charmander would look like.
I don't know. It can't be as spoopy as the one that Sky drew, though, with its, like, ghost blank eyes.
No.
Yeah. It's creepy. Yeah, so we kind of already talked about them. I would also like to see, like, fairy versions of some Pokemon that wouldn't necessarily be fairy.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know how you could do it to Magnemite, but making him, like, steel fairy would be real cool.
Yeah, or, like, any ghost versions of Pokemon could be really creepy.
If like, there's like a haunted graveyard? House area yeah. or like, yeah, just an abandoned grave area.
That would be cool as heck.
I think ghost type is the easiest variant to make.
Yeah. Because it's just
because everything dies.
It's a dead one of like, that. You probably couldn't make a ghost Clefairy.
It would be Gengar.
Because that's Gengar. So yeah, those are things we would look at. We got some reviews.
We got two.
All right, hit us.
Got one from iTunes user Lock385.
Okay.
The title is a little intense. It is a good companion to Adventure Zone.
Dang.
So, whoa, all right.
That's a lot to live up to.
Alan does such a fantastic job running the show, and Jake and Josh are fun and weird.
True.
That is a fact.
Those are all facts. Alan does a good job at running the show, and we are weird.
In the spirit of the Adventure Zone, the PWTU episodes are extremely fun. So thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Alan, I'm glad someone recognized Alan publicly in the reviews, because Alan does a killer job on it.
He does.
He does. He does.
I don't think we could have asked for a better GM.
No, we got real lucky with Alan being so cool.
Sorry we're hogging him, guys, but he's ours.
He's ours. Back off.
Someday, he'll be on our payroll.
Eventually.
And the next one comes from NR Gregory, and it is titled Big Help and a Lot of Fun.
Cool.
I stumbled across Pokemon Tabletop United after playing Pokemon Go for a bit. As I do, I looked for any podcasts that play PTU and found these guys. I've had a great time listening to them, and I'm only just now finishing up the tour up to Cinnabar. I still have the anime episodes to listen to since I'm doing each grouping in order. Before I dive into the Morphin Grid, because I also used to be a huge fan of Power Rangers, what a coincidence. Too long, didn't read. Great stuff, great humor, great PTU sub-podcast. 10 out of 10, would listen again. Buddy, think about the anime episodes is that they're dead after episode 8.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that yet because it's a recent development.
Yeah, I needed to lighten our schedule up because I couldn't handle it anymore, so we cut the anime episodes out. Stuff happens.
We weren't getting a ton of feedback on it, so it didn't seem like anybody was like clamoring for them.
Yeah,
I really don't like the anime.
Yeah, Jake didn't like doing them. Editing them is just like a huge chore for me. It was the easiest thing for us to cut to free up a little bit of time. So they're done. They're dead and buried.
We're not doing it. You said 8. We're on 7.
I think I have up to 8.
We didn't record 8.
Then I meant 7.
So we should post the last one in the regular feed then.
I have 2 on my desktop. I'll have to look in the feed and see if maybe I just didn't delete it after I uploaded it.
No, maybe. I don't know.
Or I might have just not... we might have done 8 and I just didn't send it to you.
That's also possible.
I can't remember. Was the last one we did the AJ episode?
I think so.
I have 2 episodes on my desktop that either need to go up or not, but they'll be in the main feed soon enough.
Yeah.
But that's the end of the anime. I'm sorry. I know it was a goal for us, but...
It was one of the real... It was like the $35 goal. And then we did a lot more since then. Because this is... Like, look, Pokemon World Tour United was not a stretch goal or a milestone. So just replace the two because that one's better and more fun.
Yep.
So that's your replacement. Maybe when this is our full-time job, we'll bring them back, but...
Yeah, if I don't have to go to like another job for 40 hours a week, we can definitely do the anime again, but... Definitely. Until that time. It is on indefinite hiatus.
Yeah. But thank you very much for the review. I had a sentence that I was going to say.
Love you guys.
I do. I love you guys. You guys are great. Oh, shucks. I'm glad that there is a kind of a need. Like, people are like looking for Pokemon Tabletop United games.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any else. That are podcasts.
Not of that specific system.
So
there are a couple other Pokemon RPG podcasts, but they use weird systems and like...
Yeah.
I'm not going to throw any shade, but you can tell my opinion just by the way I'm talking.
Yeah. So before we close out, I got a couple things I want to talk about in here. This is the easiest place to do it. Number one, Griffin McElroy just started a Nuzlocke challenge on Polygon or YouTube.com/Polygon. That's every Wednesday he uploads it. It's... really great. Griffin McElroy is maybe the funniest person on the planet to me. So I would definitely recommend those.
Absolutely.
I look like Wednesdays are my favorite day because we play World Tour United on Wednesdays. But now in the morning, I also get to look forward to those. And then second is Shannon Maynor, our good friend. I mentioned this on the United episodes, but I haven't mentioned it on here. Right now, she's doing a commission special where she will draw you and a Pokemon of your choice for a very reasonable rate.
Yes.
And they look great. They're all awesome. So go to her Twitter, Shannon Maynor, at Shannon Maynor, 1M in Maynor, or 1N in Maynor. Also 1M. But that's not what I wanted to say. go check those out. Consider commissioning her for those. Josh and I both have one. If you look at our profile pics, that's what they are. Alan has one. That's his profile pic. Bunch of listeners have done it so far.
Yeah, Sony's got one.
Sony's got one. Matt J has one from Super Sentai Bros. Yep. He got his with Squirtle, which is real good.
There's another one. I'm not sure if he's a listener or just a friend of Shannon's. I'm not sure.
I don't know. He's got a Butterfree and something.
That was Sony. Sony has Butterfree and Chespin.
You're right. Magikarp.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think his name was Greg.
I think maybe.
I don't know.
If you're a listener, hey, how's it going? Sorry.
What's up, man?
but I'm gonna say this right now. Shannon is super fun and easy to work with. But be specific and be direct. Don't beat around the bush. Don't, like, she has a whole process laid out for how this works.
Yeah.
Just respect the process and be cool. If we're sending you, be cool, guys. All right. Definitely go. Consider getting one of those. Join the We Have the Best Twitter Avatars Club.
Yep.
And that's it. That's all I got for fan interactions.
Me too.
All right. And thus concludes another episode of Pokemon World Tour. If you want to talk to us on the internet, you can either tweet us at PWT Podcast or email us at PWTPodcast@gmail.com.
And we're on iTunes. If you want to head over there, give us a quick or a long rating/review.
We like them both.
We do. We'll read it on the air in our fan interactions segment.
And also love you forever.
And love you forever. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. A lot of fun. Love you forever. We're also on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. If you go there, you can give us a couple bucks every month. And in return, you get some cool stuff. The Spotlight episodes go up there first. The second Spotlight for July is late. That's my bad. I got swamped with other stuff, so
that's all right. I forgot about it.
We have to record it was like, one.
It was like the end of July, and I was like, no, I remember recording
Abra,
I don't know where it went, and it just was like, wasn't on my hard drive anymore, so I panicked.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I just haven't edited it yet. I'm hoping by the end of the week it'll be up.
So that'll be up on Patreon whenever I get it, and then it'll hit the main feed.
Oh, a couple, when the next one goes up?
Yeah, a couple weeks after that. Who knows?
Yeah, so we're recording the next one soon, the third one soon. And those were real fun. I really wish the spotlight was out already. I wish I had a little more time, because I know there are some fun jokes about Kadabras in there.
Yeah, man, they're all so weird. That whole family is just weird.
It's just a bunch of weirdos.
It just progressively gets so crazy.
Yeah. We also totally blast a fake psychic, which is fun for me to do. Also, the Pokemon World Tour United episodes go up very, very early, by which I mean like a week early, and hopefully earlier and earlier as I can get ahead on them. So if you really like Pokemon World Tour United, you can kind of get a fix a little early there. Our theme song is The Destiny Infinite by Dark Sword. That's DarkeSword. That's off the OC Remix album, the EV EP, and it's great. You can download that at ev.ocremix.com, and you can go to Dark Sword. That his Twitter is how his name is spelt, and just tell him he's great. Tell him his music's great.
He deserves it. His music is great. And all of our background music is from the Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver Super Music Collection, available on iTunes for the low, low price of $9.99 for like a million songs. So just
so many.
Go pick that up. It's a real good soundtrack.
And have
also all the other Pokemon soundtracks
they have
are on there.
All the soundtracks on there, and they're all $10 each. And they're all very good.
Get on that. I got to get on that. I got to get the ones I don't have. I just keep running out of money before I think of it.
All right, so next week, Pokemon World Tour United episode 10 goes up. And the week after that, we're going to fight the Elite Four, the Kanto Elite Four.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about the Johto Elite Four or any other.
Nope.
Just the Kanto.
That's right.
And that's how we're going to do it. After that, what's the plan?
After the Elite Four, we're going to do Cerulean Cave in that same episode, just like a little bonus route thing.
Right.
Then we're going to take a break for like a month.
We're still going to have episodes going up.
We're still going to, we need to do some gym leader stuff.
Yeah, we got to do some of those. Depending on how they go, we might do two per episode.
I think we could probably do that.
Because I don't think they'll be super, super long.
Because I think 10 is the number that we have to do right now.
Yeah.
So we'll knock out as many as I can get information for.
Well, we have some. We just got to do some digging, but right. It shouldn't be too hard. We did toy with the idea of doing like a Pokemon conspiracy bonus episode.
We did.
I would like to maybe do that.
We might.
We'll see.
If we only take a month off, though, that's only two episodes.
I mean, look, we could take two off.
And it's not really taking anything off. It's doing different content in place of this while we, get stuff ready for the Sevii Islands that are coming up next.
I have no idea what those are.
I've only been to them once, so.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do a Pokemon myths and conspiracies and, like, weird stuff episode, because I kind of want to do that in the style of the long hiatus podcast Paranoia Shop.
Yeah.
They
keep saying new episodes are coming. Like every new Goosebuds chat's like, there's more coming, I promise, but like it just never happens. Because him and Aaron are just like super busy, so they're trying to line up their schedules.
We're TV writers now, and that's a hectic business.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to do with my life until they were like, no, we're good. Anyway, this is not the podcast, right? So maybe we'll get Alan on for that episode if he's into it, and we'll each bring a couple stories and figure that out.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
I think I'm going to listen to all of Paranoia Shop again now.
Cool. There's only like 12 episodes. So
yeah.
It should be pretty easy.
Be like a week.
I'm telling you, mysterious topics. But anyway, that's it. We'll catch you next time. But until then,
smell you later.
These don't have names.
That's a very loud bird.